EMT stories, 1-877-764-2535. Bill on the Rood.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're a paramedic?
Yes.
Explain what that is. That's a level up from EMT.
It is the highest level of EMT. It takes about 2 years to get to. And I've been a paramedic since 2010.
Nice. Wow. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And now you're able to, are you able to give drugs?
Yes.
Okay.
What you got? Sorry.
It's a great question.
Anything good?
It's true.
Anything good?
Give us a story.
Got some crazy stories.
All right.
Excellent.
For first one, I'm going to start off with, it was a few years ago during a snowstorm. We had that 20-plus car pileup on 91.
Do I remember?
I seem to recall that. Yes,
you do, or yeah. Are you just saying that?
No, I remember.
Was it in the morning or
pile up,
Phil? You remember?
It was in the afternoon, and we were getting called to a car accident. That was it.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, we're going to a car accident.
Yeah,
it's snowing crazy.
Whoa!
Like, hey, man, you realize you're on the radio, right?
Like crazy, right? Right.
Yeah, totally crazy.
All right, this is the guy who's going to assess you when he arrives.
Yeah. He'll remain calm as your vitals are going down.
All right, so snow,
like nuts.
Horrible. You get the call, an accident. You're like, oh, an accident.
Right.
You go.
Yeah, an accident, yeah.
Snowing like crazy.
Yeah.
Snowing like crazy.
As I'm going up north, I'm looking in the southbound lane to find the accident. There's no cars driving on the highway.
Never
I'm
a
like,
good sign.
Okay.
Right. Where did he go?
No, it's like Armageddon.
No.
Must went
you
home.
You can't see 2 feet in front of you. No one's on the road.
No.
It's like, this is a major highway.
As I drive up, I look to the, as I'm looking at the left side of the highway to find the accident, we see a pile of crap.
That must be it.
I mean, a huge pile.
Yo, like a big stinking pile of crap? Oh, cars and trucks.
Three or four tractor trailers, and all the rest were cars.
Wow.
Damn. I'm like, oh, my God. People
like
are
a
dead.
Debris. It looked like a junkyard.
Hey, OMG, yes.
It looked like a war zone.
That's when you say, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Right, exactly. I'm going to lunch.
So recreate
that call. So you see this, and you get
cursing.
On the radio, and what'd you say?
Without cursing.
Holy...
Did you say that on the radio?
We need more people. Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow.
By accident.
Right.
Because I was on the radio talking.
Like today?
You have a problem with swearing.
Yes, you do. You see a doctor about that or a paramedic.
Over the radio.
Especially.
Our radio,
yeah.
Your radio.
Yeah. Everybody's radio today.
You should see a paramedic about that.
But I can see how you'd have that reaction when you roll up thinking it's a car accident and then it's a debris field.
Huge.
Yeah.
We're talking, there were 35 patients.
35.
35. In a blizzard.
Right. Holy crap.
But were they patient, really, or kind of impatient?
We had to take four people in our ambulance alone at the end.
Wow.
Four.
You stack them?
It's like bunk beds.
Yes.
Four.
How do you fit four in an ambulance? You could do two comfortably, right?
You could do two comfortably. But we took four.
Third one's on the floor.
One guy's on the roof.
No, they're
spongied.
The bench seats are big enough to fit the four people in.
Oh, wow.
So they all have to sit down. No one's laying down then, right?
Right.
Right. No, everybody has to be strapped in. You have to legally strap somebody in. If you don't get them in a seatbelt, they can't go in with you.
And no moving.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
But we were the second ambulance in. And the volunteers are there going, oh, God, you're a medic. Come here. We got to give him drugs. He broke his leg. I'm like, dude, you just called me to an MCI. I'm taking over the scene. I'm directing the scene. I'm wearing no coat. I'm out there for 2 hours.
Wow.
Right.
Why would you have no coat?
I'm a cold weather Marine.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. That's a whole different deal.
Training-wise.
I hear you.
Cold weather Marine. That's
yes.
Badass. That's tough.
Sounds like you rethought that, though, after a couple hours.
After a few hours, I had to rethink my situation and go, you're a dumb
Yeah. I gotcha.
Right. You're a warm weather Marine.
He keeps going right to that line.
He likes that word.
Wowie. So what happened?
The next craziest story was this. We're going to a call.
Did anyone die in that horrible accident?
No, actually.
Wow.
In my firefighter training, our instructor told us, when you come to a scene, if you can't cover it with your thumb, you're too close.
What does that mean?
And one of the trucks...
Oh, so you can't park too close to the scene.
Correct.
Why?
Explosions.
Oh, well, that's a good reason.
That's a good one.
I'd go with that one.
That's a good one.
I can't help you if I'm dead.
This is true.
Yeah, that would be hard.
We got to call another paramedic who swears.
You know, that logic checks out.
Can't help you if I'm dead.
Wow.
So, if you can't, I was taught in the firefighting, if you can't cover the scene with your thumb in a hazmat situation, you're too close.
That makes sense.
Right.
So...
So no one died in that one. That's remarkable.
Nobody. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. How long did it take to get other ambulances out there in that kind of snow?
It took about 20 minutes because of the weather.
Any of them get stuck?
No.
Shocked that a lot of our ambulances here aren't four-wheel drive.
You would think, right?
You would think they would be, but one, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And what the weight keeps it gives it traction, right?
Yeah.
Such a heavy vehicle.
If they started getting stuck, that we would rethink that. So clearly, it's not a problem,
right?
All right, yeah. Give us one EMT story, and then we're gonna go.
We get called to a psych patient. We get up the stairs, and the next thing you know, I see two cops outside the door of the apartment, and they look at me and they start laughing.
Uh-oh, fire's open.
I feel like that's not a good sign. In my mind, not at all.
Okay.
Because my mind is, if they're laughing their ass off, it must be a
joke. Oh, Jesus.
Dude, I can't believe you. You can't use that language on the scene, right?
No, I don't use it on the scene.
Act like you're on the scene.
Right, yeah. Right. Pretend we're your boss.
It's not that hard. I don't want to tell a Marine what to do,
right,
but I have to tell you what to do now.
Right.
Rip you're on the scene,
rip
okay?
Rip our lungs out, yes.
All right. I'm on the scene.
Right. You're on the scene. You don't swear on the scene. We don't swear on scene.
And it's all bad.
The police are laughing at us.
Oh, boy.
I open the door. I look in. This station is walking from one room of the apartment to the other wall, back and forth, going at about 100 miles an hour.
All right.
You have the psych doctors are on scene.
Question.
They're admitting the patient. The patient stops in mid-stride, picks his head up, looks at me, comes up to me, nose to nose. Right to the tip of my nose goes, okay. I am the Pharaoh. Bow to me.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh. Okay.
Now we're good.
I've never met a Pharaoh before.
Right, yeah.
It's quite an honor, actually.
Right, yeah. Right. Your grace.
So he gets back. He goes back to the exact step he was on and starts doing it all over again.
Yeah, that'll stay with you.
Yep.
But why would they let you in the room if they have the psych doctors there? They don't even need you at that point. Yeah. It's like, all right, we're good.
We have to transport.
Oh. So once he stops, you roll. Yeah.
You don't realize that's a big part of the EMT job. You transport people from one hospital to another, from a regular hospital to a living facility to a regular hospital.
Either or.
You're basically an Uber.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, call, we haul.
Yeah.
Nice. Good slogan.
So did you end up bowing?
No.
Yeah. You curtsy, really.
Yeah.
Right.
I could have, but I was like more worried about my safety than anything else.
You should have done like an Arthur Brown on him. Right. I am the god of hellfire.
And I bring you fire.
Bow to me.
And I bring you fire.
And I bring you fire.
I teach you to burn.
All right, look. I can't believe your wiring, because you were a Marine and you went to firefighter training, EMT, and paramedic. So thank you. You clearly have a commitment to public service.
Yes, thank you.
The swearing thing. We got to work on that one. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Bill, thank you, brother. Chris in Waterbury.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for what you do.
Hey, this is going back about 4 years ago. Around this time, I was driving home from work, and I'm a volunteer fireman at an EMC, so hear a call come over on my pager. I go, you know what, let me swing by to see if they need help. It's probably about 5-6 minutes after the call came in. So I get there, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, there's a car. It's completely split in half, hit a tree.
Ooh.
So I'm like, there's no way this person got out. So I'm walking up, and before I talk to anybody, this guy comes up to me, says, oh, hey, let me grab the insurance card. So I'm thinking it's the tow truck driver.
Yeah.
It's the guy walking over, looking through his car to get his stuff. I'm like, how the heck did this guy make it?
You know? And why does he even care about the insurance card at this point?
One of those things where you get chills. You're
right,
you're talking to a ghost. And,
right.
Things got to be done. You know?
Yeah. Oh, imagine.
It's kind of funny.
That would be like a scene out of The Sixth Sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the guy asked me for his insurance card. I gave it to him. No, he's 50 feet down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Under a tarp.
A lot of people say, you know, years ago, the cars, they were bulletproof. You know, like the old Lincolns, old Chevys back in the day. You know, now they make cars where they just pretty much explode on impact to save the people. You know what I mean? So when you see a car in a wrecker, sometimes it's destroyed. But, you know, the guy lived. I'm like,
yeah, crumple zones.
Crazy. So you say, you know, a lot of times you see that stuff, you're kind of like, wow, how they make it. But they make it, you know, surprisingly. Knock on wood, someone's watching them upstairs.
Yeah, like they lucked out big time.
Have you ever had a call come in over the radio where you thought, oh, man?
Yeah, there's a couple. Sometimes you hear occupants trapped, things like that.
Car or fire?
Both.
Oh, wow.
More cars. You really don't know if anybody's housewise inside until you really get there and assess the scene, because unless someone calls from the inside saying they're trapped, it's hard to tell. You know, when you get there, then you can kind of assess it, if there's anybody out of the house that tells you someone's inside. But for the most part, cars, 90% of the time, someone's driving by calling, saying, you know, they saw an accident or there's an accident.
What about a shooting? Like, a gunshot victim. You roll up on that, you think, well, maybe the person who shot this person is not done with that person? You ever worry about that?
Not often, because a lot of times the police are there before we get there. They get the initial call.
Yeah.
So they, hopefully 9 times out of 10, they can kind of get that situated.
Well, 10 times out of 10 for me. I want 10 out of 10.
Yeah. You kind of want everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, too, in those situations, either the people take their own lives or they flee the scene. They usually don't wait around for people to get there. Sadly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we forget the things that you guys have rolled up on.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You ever have like an arm bone sticking out?
Ugh.
Like an impound fracture, compound fracture, stuff like that. Yeah. Sometimes a lot of kids in the summer, you get a lot of that too, you know, because their bones are still developing.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they crash their bike or they fall out of a tree, you know, stuff like that. Or
off the roof.
Elderly also.
Off the roof?
Off the roof. There's always that one kid in the neighborhood.
Like fell.
Oh,
like,
you know, the kid
I thought you meant something else.
No, yeah. there's that one kid, you know, with the umbrella, thinks it's going to be a parachute.
Down they go.
Yeah.
We had to get rid of our trampoline. My sister broke both of her arms on separate occasions.
Oh.
A week apart. So she got the cast off of her left arm, fell, and broke her right arm.
Oh, wow.
Well, when you have the trampoline underneath the overhang.
Yeah, you get a lot of
like a Super Bowl. Wow, look how many revolutions she has. Stop, kid.
Yeah, trampolines. It's funny when you're getting house insurance, they ask you swimming pool, trampoline.
Yep.
Yeah, they've had enough of it.
Definitely so. All right, guys, thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Jazz and AJ News.
Yeah, we could do news here, but I think it'd be much more fun to see how AJ prepares for an interview. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Hey there.
Hi.
All right, so we're talking to Rivers Cuomo yesterday. AJ's preparing, and
You know, reading the Wikipedia, reading about his
life. He's going through Wikipedia.
Right, yeah.
He says, oh, well, we have that in common.
Right.
We're both roadies.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, we have that in common.
Well, you're bonding, yes. Yeah. Of course.
Oh. Oh, that's three things we have in common.
Right.
It's all about AJ.
I'm going to find that person who voiced that. I'm going to strangle them with a piano cord.
I like you approaching the interview cord. By, like, how is this guy like me?
How much me is over there?
You know how much of me is going to be over there in a second? All of me is going to be over there in a second. The next question will be, who's going to replace that window?
Let's see.
You go through.
Huh, me. Yep, and me, and me.
Right.
Me.
Right.
It's all about AJ.
Yeah, I love you guys.
We're just having fun, that's all.
Yes.
It's just interesting how you prepare. So you're either going to say,
well,
yes,
no, I'm
right.
I'm reading other stuff, and I'm like, I happen to come, I'm like, oh, wow, he's in this, he did this, he did this. So I'm like, oh, wow, I've done that also. That's man. Why I don't know why I say it out loud in front of you. Because I'm an idiot, apparently.
No, you want me to know you're preparing.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad. But how you prepare is interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is?
How is this man like me so I could talk about me when I talk to him?
Well, no, you figure you find a common bond. Maybe there's some stories in there, you know?
Yeah, all right.
That's what you do.
And so at the end of the interview, I said AJ found three things that you guys have in common.
Right, right. Yeah. And
this is Phil's favorite part.
Finally, who gets a rat's ass?
All right, here it is.
And I was a roadie for a band, for many bands.
Oh, yeah.
See? Ta-da.
When...
Well, you know what? When someone's not reacting, like when you do something like, oh, my God, ta-da.
Like it's a magic trick.
Yes, like when you disappear, for example. That's a magic trick, too.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
Oh, look, ta-da. He's missing. He was on the
listen
roof
to his reaction. Ta-da. Like, oh.
He don't give a rat's ass.
No.
Yeah. No, he does not. And I don't expect him to. I just, you know, it was something to mention. First of all, I didn't know you were going to throw that at him, so I had no idea. Because I was equally caught off guard. I'm like, oh, crap, we're going to do this. All right.
Ta-da.
I could try and say, no, I got nothing.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Ta-da. Ta-da. Yes.
I don't know why that's like, I didn't even catch it when you said it
in
real time.
I don't know why I'm making wine out of your head right now by stepping on it until juice comes out.
I'm not drinking that.
No one's going to ask you to.
Ta-da. Will you say ta-da when you're done?
They're going to need that for evidence. Oh, yes, I'm welcome. Big ta-da.
Ta-da.
Here comes the big finish. Ta-da.
Ta-da. Ta-da.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's funny. He's got like a
you
smoker's...
were a roadie? I was a roadie.
He's got a smoker's laugh in us.
I see you wear flip-flops. I wear flip-flops.
Right, right, right.
Ta-da.
Hey, I see you breathe there. Phil no longer breathes there.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
That would be a magic trick.
Yep.
So you were in Greece. He was in Greece.
Yep.
Ta-da.
Yep.
Who did you play in Greece?
I was one of the, just one of the background people.
One of the T-Birds?
Yeah.
So you'd bring this up to him.
Yeah. That's a very important part. Because
the background people.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. The whole tell me more guys, you know? Otherwise, it's not, you know, it's not part of the song.
What song is that, Tell Me More?
That's Summer Night? Summer Lovin'.
Summer Lovin'.
Summer Night, Summer Lovin', that's what the hell it's called.
That means you know all the lyrics
summer
for
nights, right?
Duet, it's been AJ. Summer.
That's good, go for it.
No, our duet.
Yeah, I don't do duets.
You do duets?
I don't do duets. Summer Lovin'. Yeah, this was not my part.
Oh, your part is
worse. Right. Tell me more, you can get very far.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's it, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're like one of the aha guys in the background?
Aha.
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 Aha. Ta-da. Ta-da.
Right.
That's why you did ta-da.
Right.
Ta-da.
Exactly right.
Ta-da.
Yep.
Ta-da.
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 That's such a funny reaction.
From now on, still, I'll just punch you in the forehead. How's that?
I'll go,
and then I did this. How's that sound? Good?
Yeah.
$400 microphone.
I didn't punch it hard.
Okay.
Ta-da.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yep.
Now there's a burning feeling in my stomach again.
I said nothing.
I missed that.
Well, you know what, the Buddy Holly. So here's
yesterday.
Here's another thing you have in common.
Right.
With Rivers Cuomo Weezer.
Yes.
The Buddy Holly video. They used
the Happy Days.
Al Steiner.
Yeah, the Happy Days set. Yes, yeah. Al Steiner. Yep. Yep.
Hey, he likes Happy Days. Like Happy Days.
Well, I was more of a fan of the show. Yes.
Yeah.
I would have made a video using their set, but yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
If you couldn't get like the original motorcycle, you wouldn't like use that though?
Oh, a Triumph or Frigia. I wouldn't use it though. I'd put it aside.
Mm.
That's a collector item.
No, like if you were shooting a music video or something for yourself.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's amazing how they did that video.
Yeah.
How did they get Al to say that?
I don't know.
We could have asked him yesterday.
Is he still alive?
No, he died.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Did he die before the video?
Al Molinaro died a long time ago.
Because he didn't look old in the Buddy Holly video.
Yeah.
And that was like 30 years after.
Yeah. 2015 he died.
Yeah, they used old footage and superimposed themselves. What the hell did they do? Green
screen? No, they couldn't.
CGI.
That was real. No?
No, it wasn't real.
Can you play the beginning of the video?
Got to wait through this
commercial.
Couple of ads.
Yep. What's the skip ad?
I would if it gave me the option.
No, I'm saying I like when they have that.
Yeah.
I didn't say use it.
Ta-da.
Escuch on.
Happy Days is filmed before a live audience.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, live from Arnold's Drive-In.
That's when Fonzie jumped the cans.
Yeah.
Was it barrels?
Barrels.
Barrels.
They were garbage cans.
Okay.
Garbage cans.
Second stand. You wanted to see it. Brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Okay, kids. Arnold's is proud to present Kenosha, Wisconsin's own Weezer.
So they voice dubbed it, and
that sounds like someone's doing his voice.
It was a talent show.
Yeah,
yeah, but man, it looks like he says Weezer.
Oh yeah,
let me see.
I'm sure it's a whole CGI thing they do.
Kenosha, Wisconsin's own Weezer.
Oh, they do. They cut as soon as he says it. They cut to a different camera angle.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it's probably just close enough where it's like...
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Oh, hey, please try the fish.
So right at when I asked Rivers about the Beach Boys,
yeah,
he sounded like he was interested in doing it. And
yes.
I should have suggested, why don't you just do one song and do it for the encore and come out in the Beach Boys outfit?
Nice.
It sounded like he thought, wow, that's a great idea.
He did sound interested, yes.
A lot of work.
Yeah. We got to run off. You got to change real fast, come back on.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
That was just, oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Now that I hear it back, I think it's like, screw you. It's a different tone than I remember.
He thought about it the whole time. So there's like multiple seconds in between, and then he comes back again.
Yeah, wow. I think that would take a little bit of rehearsal.
He didn't pull it off.
No, definitely not.
Like the wheels are turning in his head, like, can I pull this off? Can I do that?
What would he say if he can pull it off? Ta-da.
I figured you had it ready.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We had enough fun with our Weezer interview.
Yes, we have.
All right. How much to send your kids to school in September? Hello? Does AJ know?
Hello?
I don't know.
You know, it's funny. Parents don't even care. They want these kids out of the friggin' house.
Whatever it takes.
But, you know, they do these surveys, AJ.
Yeah.
And this one says an average of $843 a child.
Ah!
How's
wow.
that even? So what's that, clothes?
I cost like $120 when I went to school.
You don't even know. The study polled 2,000 parents of school-aged children and found the projected spending on each child is up 19% from an average of $707 last year. Well, who the hell went to school last year? Clothes, 70%.
Mm. Yeah.
You got to look good.
Yeah. Okay.
All the new stuff. Shoes. That was a big one.
Whatever
everybody had
has,
new
yeah,
shoes for a day.
Sneakers.
School.
70%.
You
cheaper to sell.
What's 70% of $843?
$843. Let's see.
Make some computer sound, AJ, please.
$590.
Wow, that's a lot for clothes.
Yep.
Any parents want to chime in, feel free.
Yeah.
School supplies, 43% of that. What's 43% of 800? That's almost 50, so we could just do 400, like 400.
Yeah, right. 396.
Like, they have, like, computer stuff now, right?
School
it's not like, remember we got like just, we got pencils, yeah, we got ours? Pens, we got a protractor,
yeah.
We got that stupid little ruler thingy.
Right.
And then we got, of course, you got your notebooks.
Calculator.
Let me get a calculator, no. Notebooks.
Oh no, the calculator is a big thing
expensive
for us.
Expensive.
For you guys,
graphing calculator.
No, my calculator was my fingers and toes, thank you, and an
the
abacus.
Graphing calculator was a big deal.
Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, we didn't go over $100.
And you had to get a specific one.
And everybody went. Everybody went at the same time when it came to all the school supplies.
Like, hold on, let's go back to calculators. When they first came on the scene, Texas Instruments was the that was it. I don't even know where that happened at a company.
Right. My dad had an IBM desk, like a desk model.
Oh yeah,
that thing was like,
old school.
That was like $450.
Yeah,
I think we still have it too somewhere.
Jeez.
Yep.
Pencil. Yeah, it was pretty simple. Pencils, pens.
Number two pencils, obviously.
Yeah,
yes.
Number two.
Right.
Those calculators were so fancy, you couldn't even spell boobies on it if you wanted to.
That's good to know. Pencil,
various
pens.
Notebooks.
Oh, the erasers. You had to get the erasers. Remember that big wonkin' one? It was like an orangey brown.
It never worked.
You know what? I would get a lunchbox that I was really excited about. I'm like, oh, I can't wait until kids see me with this lunchbox. I get on a bus in 5 seconds. It's like, oh, you made me feel like a dick.
Oh, yeah.
The kids are just so brutal.
Yep.
Ah, you got a Scooby-Doo lunch. Ah, and the whole bus, I'm like, I just want to smash you.
I know.
The
when
face.
You're 17 years old, it's traumatic.
I know. It was a lot.
I had kids that would get a new backpack every year, and it had to be like those L.L. Bean special ordered ones with all their initials and everything. They had to have, because they release like specific colors per season.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we have to get the new one.
Kids were brutal.
Yeah.
First day of school, I got one of those Farrah Fawcett T-shirts with her in the red bikini, and some girl dumped her perfume on me. First day of school.
Ta-da!
Yep.
That one's wild.
Yep.
So weird that you would go to school with a Farrah Fawcett T-shirt.
Hey, that was the iconic
poster.
Yeah.
You don't wear it.
I wasn't the only person wearing one. Mm. I was the only person who got perfume dumped on them, though.
Jeff on the road.
Yo, morning, guys.
Hey.
Morning.
My daughter's going to kindergarten, and I've already spent well over $300.
For kindergarten?
For kindergarten.
Would you buy her own blocks?
For kindergarten.
What does she need?
No, man, it's like the clothes, like you're saying, the shoes.
Oh,
and for kindergarten. They got a finger paint and stuff.
The magic markers, the notepads, the bag, the lunchbox. I mean, it's everything's $20. Everything is 20, 20, 20, 20.
4 hours ago.
It just never stops.
Should do a parody. Wow, that's a lot of money. And you're not even done yet.
And that's kindergarten. Could you imagine these parents whose kids are like in sixth grade where name brands are like everything, you know?
Yes.
You may want to sell the kid now. Just sell the kid now.
That's the argument for these school uniforms. I don't like that idea, but kids got to.
I wouldn't want to have my kids go in uniforms either. I don't think it gives them any individuality.
Yeah,
they look like work at Target.
You know, when you mentioned magic markers, I remember the magic markers from the 70s. You'd get high from them.
Oh, you sniffed them, man, big time.
Well, I didn't, but you know, you.
Everybody. You did.
Just,
I did.
That just explains a lot.
Everybody did. Oh yeah.
Everybody did.
Oh, trust me. I broke my brain years ago.
All right. Thank you.
What was left? I finished off in the '80s.
Alan Shelton.
Hey Chad, you can't forget the Nikes, right? They got to cost over $100 a piece nowadays for these kids, and the more expensive ones, the better they'll feel when they go to school. They don't want the cheap ones.
Yeah.
How much are they?
Yeah, that's all I got. Hey, Jay, you want to come to my pool this weekend?
Nope.
Jimmy Kopic, Live Nation on the show right now. Let's check in and see if there are any big concert announcements happening. Jimmy?
Well, we mentioned earlier in the week that Breaking Benjamin concert, which we're very proud of at Mohegan Sun, but we're working on something that's really big next week. So hopefully we'll be on next week and we can make the first announcement next week. So I don't want to dampen that. We really aren't putting anything on sale this week other than Breaking Benjamin. So that is really it for the week. No, things are slowing down. We're looking, you know, the outdoor season is mainly booked, not completely booked, and the indoor season is a little slow right now.
Well, slow after a surge of probably the most concert announcements I can remember.
True.
Probably in the history of concerts.
Every 5 seconds. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we put 12 shows on sale the same day. I mean,
the same day.
Damn. It's like a horse race. Yeah. Go!
Before this year, what was the most you'd put on sale one day?
Four.
All right. So,
and they would never be the same type of music. They would always be different music. So anybody wouldn't feel that they have to
make a choice.
Put up too much money at once.
Nice.
Oh wow,
that's thoughtful.
Wow, 12. All right. So now it feels slow because it's not 12.
Right.
So would you say? All right. I'm not even going to ask. No.
We're going to ask.
No. I won't even ask where.
Right.
And I won't ask...
to allude.
All right, so let's just move on. How about that? All right, so this Woodstock movie, Phil watched it yesterday. Did you see it?
I saw it the first Friday. It was on HBO, yes.
You did say. You're getting your popcorn. You're getting out. So you were involved in which Woodstock?
I was involved in Woodstock 94.
94. This one was 99, yes. Right? They asked you to be part of it, but you declined?
No. I had left the company that I co-owned in 96 when I sold the Meadows, which is now Xfinity, to a company. I went to the new company, which ended up becoming Live Nation. I had owned my own company with a good friend. We were partners for about 6 years, and then... this company called SFX offered me a lot of money to buy the Meadows. So I left the company and sold the Meadows and started working for this other company, which became Live Nation.
That had to be a lot of money.
I know it's confusing, but yeah.
I'm just seeing a big pile of money.
Yep. Didn't suck.
Like a size of a building.
Right.
Yes. It was hard to say no. And I was leaving a good friend who was my partner. But then I asked him if he wanted to sell the rest of the company. And we'll all go together, and he didn't want to do it.
Of the chance.
But no, Woodstock 94 was...
I'm still picturing all that money.
I know. Like, how much would it weigh? What would it fit in if
you
it was
know what's
cash?
Interesting, though? Like, you could tell Jimmy loves what he does, because at that point, you could say, you know what? I'm going to live my life. I'm going to travel. I'm going to do whatever
I
want to do.
Yep.
Maybe I want to work on cars or listen to music or watch TV all day.
Become a screen actor.
He's
whatever.
Like, no, he's still doing concerts.
Yes,
so
he is.
It's for the love at this point. It's not for the money anymore.
I make sushi.
Yeah. I sold my company 23 years ago. I sold my company. So I've been doing this for 23 years, and I love it. You're right.
Yeah.
And the pandemic made me realize I love it, because I got to get up in the morning and I'm bored. Unless I'm doing my work.
Right. So you realize, what would I do with
my work?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So Woodstock 99, that was a nightmare. And as a concert promoter, you're like, okay.
Thank
I'm
God.
Interested in this. Yeah. Did you know that was coming before the thing happened? Like, you were hearing whispers and thought, oh, this is going to be a nightmare? Or were you surprised at how bad it turned out?
I was surprised at how bad it turned out. The people that worked on Woodstock 99 were a lot of my friends. They all worked at the company, because I left the company in the beginning of 97, and this only happened 2 years later. So a lot of my friends were working on it. The only thing that I didn't know the intricacies of it, but when I saw the talent package, I remember putting Woodstock 94 together as one of the people that put the talent together for Woodstock 94. And we tried to create a flow on the music where we would have something really hard, but then we'd soften it up. And then we also had a lot of classic artists on it. Joe Cocker was on it. Wavy Gravy was on it. We had a lot of Santana was on it. I can't remember exactly.
So there was a nod to 69 Woodstock.
Bob Dylan was there.
But also you mixed in relevant artists from today.
Yeah.
We had Metallica on it. We had Aerosmith on it. But you know, what we tried to do is consider the flow of the music and how we would get the audience really going, but then we had to soothe them back a little, and then we had to get it going again, and then we had to soothe it back a little. And there was some real logic in making sure this doesn't get out of control. And certainly the older artists tamped everything down because the younger audience really didn't care about Joe Cocker or really didn't care about Santana or anything like that. So they went out and they would get a drink or they would roam around while the old classic artists were on.
I have a feeling that they didn't do this in 99 and that turned out to be a problem.
Right.
Yeah, what ended up, when I saw the talent package in 99, I said, okay, you know, not that many female artists on the show, but there were some older artists, but whoever put the package together, and they really drove the audience to a frenzy and didn't calm everybody down, and I think that was important. We had Aerosmith and Metallica close out one night in 94. But Aerosmith, and I say this in a general sense because I'm a guy that likes Aerosmith, but Aerosmith is a real band that a lot of girls like. So, and guys like Aerosmith too, but you always need to appeal to the girls. They're more logical than men. They calm things down. They're more nurturing. And you never see troubles at girls' concerts. You only see trouble at guys' concerts. So we put Aerosmith on, and then we put Metallica on, which is more of a male band than a female band, the demographics of it.
Yeah.
I thought what they did in 99 is they kept tamping up the heavy male bands and didn't slow things down. And I think that was one of the primary problems. It takes a lot of work to put these things on, and I thought a lot of the
When you say work, you mean experience of doing it wrong and learning,
right,
and gathering error. Information through the years. There's something that comes with that you can't just get from having a bunch of, you know, people who just got into the business do it.
It's too big of a job. That's the problem. And the company that was handling it wasn't a big enough company. You have thousands upon thousands of people working on this. And trying to control that is very, very difficult.
What
very
happened? Difficult. Why was it so bad?
I think the fact that they held it on pavement, which I'll never understand the logic of that.
Right.
Because 3 days on pavement, man, it gets hot. I mean, you won't see any venue that I work on that's pavement.
Wow.
You do grass.
It's like a human omelet.
Basically, yes.
I think the price of water being, I think it was $4 or $5.
That's back then,
yeah.
In 1999.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we charge now.
Yeah, now it's common, yeah.
And they tried to do well by having water fountains out there, but at the same time, they ended up not working well. So people were forced to buy water.
Oh.
And so I think, and the bathrooms, there weren't enough bathrooms out there, evidently, and they got all backed up. So the audience got angrier and angrier as the weekend went along. They had trouble going to the bathroom. They didn't like the water prices. It was getting beastly hot outside, and the shows were on pavement, so the people had to stand on pavement. Some of it was out of the promoter's control, I'll say that, but you have to plan on that maybe happening and prepare for it. They should have cut the price of water once the people started complaining right away, in my opinion, and forget about the profit and care more about the health of the fan.
Yep.
This goes back to what happened at the amphitheater night one. Your no pocketbook. So then halfway through, you said, okay, it's a problem. Let's change it right now.
Yeah. We're losing that immediately.
We're not going to talk about it tomorrow. We're going to make a decision right now.
Right now.
Right. And we changed it. And yet it's the policy at Xfinity and Oakdale that only small pocketbooks. But in Fairfield County, it became a problem.
Yeah.
It's not a problem in Middlesex County, New Haven County, or Hartford County for some reason. But in Fairfield County, it's a problem, which goes to show you that the demographics are very important. Who's going to your show? You got to make your rules towards who's going to the show.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation, is on. He was part of Woodstock 94, which went very well.
Yes.
not a part of Woodstock 99.
Nope.
Which went so unwell that they made a documentary on it. And they butted recently on HBO.
Kind of killed the Woodstock name.
Right.
Jimmy watched it. Phil watched it last night. Phil, what was your take?
Well, as Jimmy mentioned, definitely the heat plays a big factor. It's the thing they keep coming back to. Having it on pavement, yes, the pavement is also hot, but there's also nowhere to hide. So there's just no shade whatsoever. There's just no relief ever. You're just constantly baking on that pavement. And then 1999, I grew up with the MTV generation of TRL where, like, they stick a camera in your face, and if you're not going crazy, they go to the next person, and whoever's going crazier, they keep that camera. So there's cameras everywhere, and as soon as they go to the crowd, they're going nuts the whole time. There's just cameras everywhere you turn, and it just felt like people were constantly trying to one-up each other to just, like, keep the camera on them.
What about there was a fire I see in the trailer?
Lots of fires.
Something's burning. Jimmy, what was that?
Well, what happened was towards the end of the show, and Phil's right, people were so wasted from the heat because it was held on an Air Force base, which is sort of not what you should be doing when you're talking about Woodstock because that's peace and love.
Yeah.
And where do you hold it? You hold it on an Air Force base. There's nowhere to hide. There's no trees. There's nothing to get under. You could see in the video that people are getting under tables just to get out of the sun for a while.
Trailers.
And and trailers. And it was really, really quite remarkable. It seemed to me that most of the interests of the promoters were make sure nobody snuck in, which I certainly appreciate because I had 400,000 people sneak into Watkins Glen in 1973. So
how much were the tickets for Watkins Glen?
$10.
Oh.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Not a mathematician, but
25 cent fee on top of it for handling. So it ended up $10.25. But Phil's reading it absolutely right. At the end they had the Red Hot Chili Peppers on and they sang the song Fire, the Jimi Hendrix song Fire,
right.
And for some reason, they had a peace group handing out candles, which, again, was another dumb mistake.
It's supposed to be a candlelight vigil.
Yes.
The right sentiment was there.
Right,
they just didn't read the room.
Right.
Right, yeah. Right. So they gave out candles, and people were fed up with how they were treated the whole weekend.
This is like those, remember Yankee Stadium? They used to hand out those little baseball bats.
Bat day, yes.
Bat day.
Yep.
And then they realized, oh, people are using them to
on
beat each other with.
So. Why are we arming our fans?
You just gave everybody a club.
Yeah. Sorry, Jimmy.
Nice move.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, there's some years the Yankees needed to be clubbed, but they're coming back this year, which is nice. But I'm a Yankee fan. So I think that people finally were so frustrated that when they had these candles, they just hated the place and the experience so much. They said, let's just set this place on fire. And they set the concession stands on fire, the trailers on fire. And then the problem was getting the fire trucks in through the crowd to put the fire out.
The walls and built, there was only one entrance or exit. So they had to go all the way around to come to the one entrance.
Oh.
A little design flaw there. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. Wow, can you imagine if something really bad happened and everyone had to leave at the same time? Through that one entrance?
Yep.
Or exit?
Like Three Stooges. Yep.
Yeah.
If you see this, the end of this video, the end of this documentary is horrifying with the fires and everything like that. It's truly horrifying.
So thank God your name wasn't on that one.
Wow. And that's what you must have been thinking as you were watching this, right? I am so glad that I wasn't asked to speak.
Right.
Because that means you were involved.
Yep.
I was in my kitchen watching it on pay-per-view down in Stanford and couldn't believe what was going on. I didn't know the experience that people were going through at the time out there. And it was because I was, you know, in my air-conditioned house in Stanford.
Yeah.
But when everything caught on fire, I go, why is everything on fire? And then the after discussion going on, now I understand why people were so frustrated with it.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm not a festival person because I can't, I was just talking to Jimmy about this, I can't stay in the same place for too long.
Yeah, yeah, I got to move on.
Kind of wander around.
Yeah, ramble.
It's a long day, too.
It is, right. Like,
well, I'm like you, Chaz. I'm not either. I'm backstage, and I'm in an air-conditioned trailer, and I didn't go to the original Woodstock, although I was 20 years old. I didn't go to the original Woodstock. Watkins Glen, I was backstage. Woodstock 94, I was backstage. I'm not a camper either. Sleeping outside, to me, does not give me a thrill.
Right. I used to like camping. And I'm like, well, I got a bed, so.
I camp with an
RV.
Why
would I be out here sleeping on the ground? I already live out in the woods.
I camp with an RV. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm outside when I want to be. Go inside and sleep.
If they gave you a Sleep Number mattress, maybe you'd sleep outside, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when
that's what they need,
mattresses.
A Sleep Number sleeping bag.
Right.
They call
oh,
that.
Wow.
Oh,
Lord. Someone get them on the phone!
Jimmy the idea man.
Go. Oh, boy.
I'll invest in that.
Well, there you go. Bingo. Farm Aid. Farm Aid's a one-day deal, though, right?
Farm Aid's a one-day deal. Starts at noon, will end by 10:30, 11 o'clock. Yeah, yeah. One day. So it's a wonderful long day. And by the way, it's the end of September. So you don't have the heat issues that you have in July and August when this festival was held. So it hopefully be a cool day.
There's the difference between someone who knows what they're doing and someone who doesn't.
Right, exactly.
Oh, let's go September. That seems good.
Right. I'll have it August.
Mm. When?
August.
Oh, I thought you said August. I'm like, is that a combination of August and October? That would be a great month.
That'd be awesome. Long month.
The leaves are a great color, and it's not too hot.
Exactly.
It's called September.
Yeah. Right. All right, so we might have you on early next week.
I'm sure hoping so. That's for sure. It'll be a fun time to be on for this show. So
awesome.
We're still working on it. Hopefully we'll get it finished today.
All right, and then Bozzy will text me if I don't mention a couple of things.
Of course.
Announced Elf on the Shelf.
Elf on the Shelf.
I love this guy.
Elf on the Trucking Shelf.
All right. We'll link this stuff up on the radio station website. Jimmy, thank you, brother. I hope we talk to you early next week.
Yes.
Me too.
All right. All right. Another news story here. The Rolling Stones.
Oh,
you know, they're doing a tour. Yes. God bless them.
Yep.
I don't know how you do it.
Right. They're like, what, 80 now?
It's unbelievable.
Is it 80? It's upper 70s, not 80s.
I know. Mick just had a birthday. I think Mick just turned 78.
And they have kids and stuff?
Like, I know.
They have
grandkids.
They have great-grandkids.
No, but they... like,
young.
Didn't Mick just have children a year or two ago?
Yes.
Right, right.
Or a child.
Right. He came out shattered.
And then Scott Haney was on. I remember we were doing the math. It's like, wow, when that kid's in high school, yes, he'll be dead.
Right.
He'll be dead.
Long dead. Long dead, yes.
Can you check that, Phil?
Yeah, I think he just turned 78. He had a birthday like last week.
78.
Yeah,
July 26th. You're right. 78.
Yep.
Wow.
His youngest son is 19 months old.
Wow. Now you can start him up and never stop.
Yeah. 19 months.
Yep.
So let's just say he lives to 90.
Uh-huh.
So that's 12, right? Am I doing
years.
This right?
12 years, yeah.
He has 8 children and 5 grandchildren already.
So the kid will be 14.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, the kid will never have to work again.
He'll be 14 the whole time, yes.
His oldest son is 32.
His oldest son.
So he started late.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's 78. The kid's 32.
If you think of a kid like in his 50s.
What's that? What was he, 40-something?
I don't know. Yeah. That's math.
Oh, my head's hurting.
I blew it yesterday.
Too many numbers.
My brain!
I smell smoke!
But Charlie Watts says, yeah, I'm good. I'm not going out on tour. So this is the first time he will not be going out with the Rolling Stones since 1963.
Damn!
By the way, Kennedy was president then.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And Charlie explains, well, he can do it, but Mick and Keith can't. If they retire, there's no Rolling Stones.
Well, I think if Mick or Keith said that, I think we would. If any of the other of us have said no, I think they could get another drama. I think Mick and Keith would or could carry on. But I think if Mick said I'm retiring, I don't know how we'd do a show without him and without Keith.
Mick.
Eloquent.
Without... Mick.
I mean, that's true.
Keith.
Right.
And Mick.
They mentioned Ron Wood at all.
Keith. It sounds like the babblings of someone who's about to die.
Yeah.
Of all the Rolling Stones members, he looks the most buttoned up, and then you hear that, and you're like, wow, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
This is why I never have him talk.
No, but he sounds like he's in his deathbed.
He does.
And he's speaking his last few words. Keith. Mick.
I remember playing with him.
Mick. No, he's not even putting a sentence.
Keith. No.
Mick.
Keith. Mick.
Keith.
I see a light.
Yes, you were in the Rolling Stones.
I see a light. I saw a puppy I had when I was four.
And Mick.
Would or could carry on.
Carry on.
I see a horse with no rider. He bids me mount.
And without Keith. No.
Who's the guy?
God bless him.
Who's the guy?
You know, this friggin' guy could drum for hours.
Yep.
Okay?
For 5 decades straight.
Yeah. Actually, last choice is holding the sticks.
And his nickname's the clock because he just wouldn't miss the timing ever.
Right. And he ate at regular times.
Mick and Keith.
I see a man with a cape. Cloak.
It's like the, you know, he's in the wheelchair in the home.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Which got, you know, we all hope to get there,
exactly,
don't we?
Exactly right.
We
yes.
all hope to get
That's
there.
The finish
so I'm not
line,
making
yeah.
fun.
No.
But respect.
We're celebrating
but
here.
But this is what it is.
You ain't going to beat us up, though.
So he's in the wheelchair.
Right, yes.
And he's got the blanket on him.
Right.
And you're spooning him the porridge.
Oh, right.
Porridge.
He can't chew anymore. Right.
Oatmeal.
Right.
Mick and Keith.
That's right.
And you wipe his Mick chin. Mick and Keith,
as
yes.
you wipe his chin off.
Nice day.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Okay, maybe we're going to go outside later. Mick and Keith.
We're going to play a fun game called Sign This Blank Check.
Carry on.
It's from your account.
Wow, look, it's such a sunny day out here, and the birds are out.
To AJ.
Keith and...
Mick.
Mick. Right. Yes, Keith and Mick,
right.
Yes.
Right.
What do you think of the applesauce?
Mm-hmm.
Mick.
Tainted.
And Keith.
I taste some kind of medication inside there. Rather you maybe send that check.
If you try to give him the applesauce,
right.
It'll shake off the spoon before it gets
shattered.
There. Keith.
He'll do a drum
Mick.
Solo with it.
No, I'm not making fun.
No, of course not.
No.
Yeah, he can buy and solo all of this. Come on. Yep.
What a life.
Yep. Didn't suck.
You know who's still on the Stones?
Mick.
Mick.
Keith.
Mick and Keith.
Oh, Ron Wood's going, hello, I'm in the Stones also.
Yeah, but he's not original.
No, he's not, but he came so
the
long
ago. The
other
guy died in a pool.
Yeah.
Died in a swimming pool.
Right, next time put water in it.
Like forever ago.
Jeez.
Oh.
And Keith.
Mick. It's his lips.
Those are his teeth falling out.
Yep. I remember. No, I don't.
You know what would be a startling image? Shocking, actually.
Oh, it's no, like what?
Mick.
Keith.
Or Keith.
Right.
Naked.
No!
Oh, why would you do that?
That's how you scare crows away from the vegetables.
My brain.
It affected somebody else. That was actually, that was Charlie Watts.
No, because, you know, they're in, you see them on stage.
Yes.
And they're in their rock and roll clothes.
Yes.
And they look great, you know.
Well,
Keith is like a pirate.
Right, it's the reason why.
Yeah.
There's a picture of him shirtless
Keith
one time
like
on a balcony.
Pirate. Mick is just the ultimate rock star.
There is a really, really
energy.
Bad. Yeah. Well.
But then if you see, like,
pills.
Remember that picture of Steven Tyler?
Oh, my God.
Like a convenience store?
Yeah. Like a
it looked like an old Jewish lady from Florida.
Exactly.
Not that I have anything against old Jewish ladies.
No, we're just saying. That's how it looked.
It's all great.
Like the Madam Puppet, but different.
Yeah. You would not I could be standing right near that person.
I have no idea.
I would not think,
right.
This is Steven Tyler.
If he never spoke. As soon as he speaks, you're like, I know who that is.
Right, because he speaks like...
Yeah.
Hey! Wow! Wow!
I just stepped on his toe.
Right, wow!
Mick,
and this is the guy who's saying, dude, looks like a lady.
Right.
What, are you looking in the mirror?
Wow, that's true.
Right.
I never put that one together.
I
he
just
does
did
say, dude, looks like a lady.
Yep. Yeah, it's like he became Tootsie.
Why was that not a meme? I don't remember seeing that meme. The picture of Steven Tyler.
Right.
Looking like a woman. Dude looks like a lady.
We can make one.
No, that has to be. Someone had to have thought of that.
I don't know.
He has admitted that he takes clothes out of Liv's Tyler's closet and like wears them on stage.
Right. Dad, where's my jeans?
He was very early with painting the fingernails and all of that stuff.
There are so many dude looks like a lady memes.
Is it really?
Like overwhelming.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
As long as he keeps his toes covered, that's all I need.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he can snap his when he walks barefoot over here.
Because why?
They're already in
what
the fire,
is that?
They're in the firing position. Like one crossed over the other. When you step down, it's like...
What do you mean firing position? They're like they're ready to snap?
You know, like one's over the other. Yeah, because his feet, like, look at them. Like, yeah. Remember we did that one time on the show? We all wanted to puke.
Yeah. No, it's bad.
Remember that.
It's real bad.
Yeah. Oh, and he walks right here. Everyone thinks there's West Side Story going on.
His toes are all crossed up like the logs before a bonfire.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. All you gotta do is just light them up.
What an image.
Right.
That's exactly what they look like.
He walks too fast, a freaking bonfire happens.
I honestly can't believe that he can still just walk. That's how mangled they look.
Oh, Jesus.
Or put shoes on.
Why would you look? Why would you look?
It's so bad.
Well, I forgot. We warned you.
I know you did.
I know.
But I forgot, so I wanted to see it.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of one.
Oh, my God.
You don't want to eat lunch
bad.
Later?
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh.
Hey, Steve, come on. Walk this way.
Oh.
Right now, so many folks are Googling that.
I'm sorry.
I'm on the bed right now.
Yeah, that's going to trend right now.
Yep, you're going to hear.
That.
I just wanted him to keep him covered. That's what I said.
Maybe that's why he goes, yow!
Exactly. He's just walking.
Right.
It hurts.
Toe arthritis.
That looks like he kicked something.
Anvil.
It does.
You're running through the house.
Right. Yeah, you hit that coffee table.
Several thousand times.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah, that big ball in front of Target.
Wouldn't you look down and say, I should fix this?
Or I shouldn't wear sandals?
Right, please.
How about not wear sandals?
Or both.
And then don't paint the toenails to make folks look.
Yes. All right,
don't direct our attention.
That's not nail polish.
Toenails are to help enhance the look. There's nothing you could do.
Yeah.
If you want to enhance the look,
wear Uggs.
Put socks on.
Right, wear Uggs.
Cover them up.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Like, no one will say, you know, you shouldn't wear socks with sandals. Oh, it's, Mr. Tyler. Yes, no, I understand.
When you can hold a pencil with your feet.